And I also want to be clear that I am in no way battling back on the idea of like, okay, Brandon, you know, chop, chop, let's go.
Yeah.
I get that. Full agreement, but I don't tie that to his contract at all. Like, for instance, if Brandon was still on his rookie deal and he had six catches through two games and it was still last year, let's go. Come on. Especially if the offense is coming off of 17 points. You know what I mean? Like, sure. Like, I think it's okay to hold everyone to that standard all the time. You know, it's why I have a hard time. I'll just share this with the audience. I have a hard time with the sports media question of who's got more pressure on them this week or this year. I have a hard time with that because it's professional football and there is insane amounts of pressure on everybody all the time. You know, I don't like at no, there's no chance that the Niners lose this game. And we're like, well, but Kyle Shanahan's fine. He didn't do anything wrong. Let's talk about Brock and let's talk about Brandon. No, you're going to be talking about everybody. Like that, this is a good team. The expectations couldn't be higher. The pressure is on everybody. The same way each and every one of you have bills that show up in your mail or in your email inbox, and the pressure is intense to get them paid every single month.
I get what you're saying, but it's not, I don't think that it's the same across all sectors and certainly across the team. For example, my lovely wife, Supper, who I adore, she's a teacher and she has tenure. So the pressure on her, and she and I have this discussion all the time.
I bet she disagrees with you.
She does.
Yep.
But the pressure on Supper to perform is different than the pressure on me to perform because while I've been in the business for 26 years,
oh gosh,
I don't have tenure. There's no such thing in our business as tenure.
I don't even know if we'll make it to 6 o'clock, and that's how it is every single day.
I'm hopeful and I like our chances.
I do too.
So the pressure on Kyle is different than the pressure on Brock Purdy because Brock is chasing that big bag. So if Brock Purdy goes out and is 3-13 this year and throws 38 interceptions, that costs him a lot of money. So he's under a different level of pressure than Kyle Shanahan.
Well, but I mean, I guess, you know what I mean? Like they're,
you could just say you're right.
Well, no,
cause I am,
but your wife would disagree with you and that's,
and she's wrong.
But
I say this knowing that she's still in school,
but that's my point.
Real tough guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk to me at 3:30.
My point is whatever pressure you feel in many ways is up to you. That's up to you. And I would argue professional sports is where people, like, they have to be very good at handling that and performing in those situations. You know what I mean? Like, to do what they do for a living is so insane. It's so, like, especially in the NFL. Like, let's talk about Brandon Ayuk. To go over the middle in an NFL game, you've got to be nuts. Absolutely nuts. Now, would I go over the middle for $30 million? I don't know. How about if I go over one time for $2 million and then I leave?
Right.
Like, no, you know what I mean?
I would argue they that his ability to go over the middle is now a little bit, I don't know, easier is probably not the word, but his fallback worst case scenario is better than it was 5 weeks
ago. Yeah, like, but see, again, it's whatever you attach it to. Are you attaching it to job status, money, the way people talk about you? I don't know. You're standing within the community. They've all like, yeah, Brandon's not going to get fired. Kyle's not going to get fired.
Right.
And Brock's not going to get fired. Only two of the three have gotten big money. But, you know, so yeah, it's all a matter of perspective on that. But just to whittle it back to what we're kind of talking about, like I have no argument whatsoever with the idea that, yes, it is time to perform. Not this Sunday, every Sunday. Every Sunday.
But particularly for me, this Sunday.
And that's where I don't agree.
This Sunday, you've got no Debo, no McCaffrey, and Kittle is going to be questionable. He couldn't even make it through practice today with a hamstring. And we can talk about soft tissue injuries and the 49ers another day. Seems a little bit like a pandemic down there in Santa Clara of soft tissue injuries, but if you don't have George or Debo or Christian, guess what, Brandon? There's more pressure on you to be the dude. You got the bag. Now be the man. That's what I'm saying.
I say 49ers, go play well and win the game. And if Brandon Ayuk has two catches for 28 yards, but Juwan goes for 8 and 111 and a touchdown, and Jordan Mason goes for 125 and 2 scores. 49ers win 27-17. Let's drink.
On Monday.
Yeah.
And on Tuesday.
And Tuesday.
No. On Tuesday, it's going to be, where the hell is number 11? Eh. He doesn't even have as many catches through 3 games as his number on the back.
Got to know the circumstances of that. That's all I'm saying. Like, if it's because he's not playing well, then I'm with you. But I don't know that playing well as a receiver automatically means numbers.
So far, that's we've seen 2 at. Games, and we're going to go to the phones, and I can't wait to hear the people. And, you know, people come at me if you disagree with me now. Thursday, best day of the week. I'm here for it. And I got a Thursday night football lock coming up.
Fade.
I'm 4-2. Fade me all you want.
I'm lucky on Sunday.
I'm
Monday
riding
night.
High
you got
right now.
Lucky.
You boys riding high
Tom
right
Petty,
now.
Tom Petty, you got lucky.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever.
You got lucky.
Scoreboard's on the phone. I'll just say this. Through 2 games, week 1, Brandon Ayuk, the big takeaway, dropping the football. Week 2, Brandon Ayuk, no separation. So where are we at? Week 3?
Well,
it's time to dominate.
Yeah, we assess it every week. That's what we do.
Right.
That's what we assess it every week.
And if Grandy's grades were to just grade Brandon Ayuk, and Grandy, jump on the mic if you're so inclined. If you wanted to just grade Brandon Ayuk through 2 games, what grade would you give Brandon Ayuk?
Let's see.
You could separate it into 2 grades if you want, like 2 different games.
Do whatever
games.
You want, Grandy. Yeah. You're kind of a grown man.
It's not great. I'm going somewhere between a D+ or a C-.
I like it. I had him as a D, so.
I think he had a D against the Jets. I don't think against Minnesota he did anything offensive, but yeah, he did against the Jets.
Nothing special either.
Nothing
against
special.
The Vikings.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So you give him a D and a C, and that averages out to a C-.
Like, I'd have to all 22 this thing to watch every single one of his
Do
routes.
Your homework.
And I guess here's another thing. Here's another. This is, and then I promise, this is the last thing to say. We'll go.
Let's
to the phone.
Go to the phones.
No, but if you're like you're saying, okay, now step up. Now. No, step up 2 weeks ago.
No, now.
I don't hold you to a different standard because your teammates got hurt. You need to play that well every week.
Of course.
All the time.
That's why I have him as a D.
That's all I'm saying.
If we get a D-level Ayuk in this game, guess what, Niners? You lose.
Not necessarily.
I'm telling you, you lose. And you might lose anyway. The Rams play you tough now.
Oh, gosh. This is a terrible football team.
I'm taking
right now.
The Rams and the points for sure.
No, you're not. Andy and Fremont.
You won't.
Andy and Fremont here start us off. 888-957-9570. You care about Ayuk's numbers or you care about the final score? Andy, what's up? Thanks for calling.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
We're great.
Hey, I just want to say something really quick, man. I think it's unfair for Ayuk. You know, I personally don't. I'm nobody to say how much money he deserves and how much he doesn't deserve. But there's so many things that will come into play to put the ball in his hands. Take it back to the Super Bowl, man. He was wide open for a touchdown. But guess what? You got an O-lineman not blocking the number one DN. So whose fault is that? Is that Ayuk's fault for not getting that catch? Is that Brock Purdy's fault for not having time? Is that the O-lineman for not doing his job? We also talk about Shanahan's scheme. I'm a fan of Shanahan. Don't take that wrong. But Shanahan's got to put the targets on him. Shanahan's got to make him the number one receiver. And we've seen it with a lot of our stars. You know, we're a run-first offense. We don't see Kittle do too much stuff like Travis Kelce. We don't see Ayuk get as many targets. We saw that in the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, so many things come into play to get the ball in his hands. And we got to play as a unit if everybody wants to eat. And that's all I got to say.
Andy, thanks. Yeah, it's a good call. And here's kind of what I will extend what he just said to add. Shanahan needs to make him the number one receiver. Let's talk about that for a second. He clearly is the most talented receiver that the 49ers have this weekend. So I have absolutely nothing against that. But that is, again, the fantasy footballization of what we're watching out there. I will, again, I don't care who the number one is. And I don't think, maybe he will someday correct me if I'm wrong, we could ask him this, but I don't think Shanahan sits down in front of the screen in his office and gathers his coaches around and goes, all right, here's a pecking order this weekend. Here's who's going to be number one. Here's who's going to be. No, there's a play. And you want the play to work. And sometimes that means going through progressions and getting to option two and option three. And sometimes Brandon will be option two or option three or whatever. So I look at it as a collective. It doesn't mean Brandon is in a snuggie and like totally protected from all of this, but he might play well and not get catches. He might play awful and get catches. So I'm not going to just sit there and go, okay, let's box score dive on Brandon Ayuk because holdout and because contract. No, dude, everybody is held to a standard on the 49ers of playing well as much as possible every single week and winning most games. That's my sole focus when I sit down and watch them play.
Of course, and the sole focus is on watching the team win, and I get that. I'm the same. I'm a fan, and I want them to win, but when you look at this week, he's going to be the number one option on a lot of plays, and if you look through 2 weeks so far, he's not been the number one option on a lot of plays. The number one option has been Debo. It's been Kittle. It's been a ton of Jordan Mason and Brandon Ayuk at times, and that's why his target rate is lower than it's been throughout his career. But now you don't have Debo and you don't have Christian. So now you're going to be the number one target on a lot of plays. So what does Brandon do well? He gets open. His ability to run all the routes is best on the team. So go ahead, Kyle, and scheme it up to where when you're going to pass the ball, he is your number one option. And if he's your number one option and he's able to get open, then Brock should be able to target him at a higher rate than he's been targeted. And I look at these other guys.
You would think.
Cooper Kupp, 27 targets in two games. Yeah, now, he's out, but and he got hurt, and he still had 27 targets. Malik Nabers, 25 targets.
Sure.
Amon-Ra, 25 targets. These are number one receivers who are schemed to where they want them to have the ball a lot.
Well, okay.
That's what I'm looking for on Sunday.
Two of your three examples are exactly what I don't want the 49ers to be. Now, the Amon-Ra one, that's a good football team. I know they lost the football game. And what'd you say? He has 25 targets?
Yep.
Which means he only had 7 week one. And they barely won that game. They've all been off to actually a little bit of a wobbly start. But your other two examples are exactly what I don't want the Niners to do. Malik Nabers gets all the targets. Why? He's literally the only good football player on his entire offense.
Right.
Okay? Now, Cooper Kupp got all the targets. Why? Well, I'd argue because Puka Nacua played a half of football and left.
Yep.
And what happened? He was one of the only, certainly in the passing game, only good football players on his team. And so you see teams like that that just drop back and just try to feed dudes. I'd argue that doesn't win. They don't win very much. The Giants don't win. The Rams have been embarrassed in the game that Cooper got all these targets. They lost by 31 points. I don't
And that's why he got so many targets, because they were behind early.
That's part of it. It's also because there's no other good players on the team to throw the ball to. So I don't want the I think it's a bad look, quite frankly, for Kyle Shanahan if the Niners have to go, dude, just drop Brock back and throw it to Brandon. Let's do it 18 times and see what happens. That's very anti-Shanahan. If you're supposed to be a scheme master, let's scheme. Let's go. Jordan Mason should look good. Juwan Jennings can get open. Hell, Chris Conley. Let's see the rook. Let's see the kid. Let's see Cowing stretch the field.
Let's see $30 million in action. Whoa, the guy's got 5 targets a game right now.
That's
so
tucked into what I'm saying, though.
If that's not doubled this game, if he doesn't get at least 10 targets, then either he's not getting open or he's not ready, or Shanahan doesn't believe in him.
At least 10. That's
at least 10 targets.
Okay.
I mean, sure.
Then again, now there's exceptions.
Get him the rock.
What if they're running the ball down the Rams' throat and they have a lead?
Well, then if we're talking about 8 pass attempts like Jimmy G in the playoffs.
No, not like that, but let's say it's 25 pass attempts. Do almost half of them have to go to Brandon?
If George Kittle's not on the field, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Because Jordan Mason's not going to be a pass catcher. He's averaging, I think, one target a game.
One each game.
Right. So are we going to? Would you rather throw it to Saubert or Brandon Ayuk?
I'd rather throw it to whoever is open.
Then scheme him open, Kyle.
Yeah, but other people might be open too. That's all I'm saying. Like, I get it.
Then why are you paying him $30 million?
Now, that's a good question.
I mean, if we're going to lean on Saubert and Cowing.
Hold on.
What are we doing, Mark?
This has been asked on the Xfinity mobile text
line.
And
I use your first name because I'm starting to get annoyed.
Are you?
Not really.
Okay.
On the radio.
Like, for instance, 925, thank you for listening. Thank you for texting. If the wide receiver production depends so much on the offensive line, then why are we paying receivers so darn much? Good question.
Super question.
Pretty sure I spent the entire summer.
That's a great question.
And I spent the entire summer asking the exact same question. If passing is down across the league, if Mel Kiper has to do national content saying we got to make changes in the game to allow us to throw deep some more, if that's the case, what are we doing? Does anybody right now have a 2-0 record? Because they're like, dude, their receiver is amazeballs. Is that happening? The Vikings are 2-0. Justin Jefferson left halfway through the game. The Bucs are 2-0. How are we doing? Is Mike Evans winning you your fantasy game? I'd argue no.
Chris Godwin.
The Saints are 2-0. What's happening there?
Rashid Shaheed.
Kinda. He's gone deep, but I'd argue Alvin Kamara has like 47 touchdowns already.
Last week alone.
Who else is 2-0? The Bills are 2-0. Want to know what they did in the offseason? They got rid of all of their receivers. Well, you don't even know who their receivers are. They drafted one, and they don't throw it to him. So, that's a good question. And I do believe that the NFL is going to regret this little bump, this run that everyone went on. All the receivers now need to make $27 million a year or more. Not the most important position on the field. Not even close.
Right?
So
it's crazy you say that because Khalil Shakir leading Buffalo with 8 catches.
And how many yards?
He's got 96 yards.
So that's in 2 games.
Correct.
So he's averaging 48 yards per game.
Right.
And the Bills are 2-0.
Leading the way.
And quite frankly, kind of comfortably 2-0.
Yeah.
So, Doug in Berkeley. Hi, Doug. Thanks for calling.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. Good listening to you. I feel like a guy that's out on the bay, and he's sailing along on a sailboat, and then the wind just dies down. Because what you guys are just now talking about is what I wanted to say.
Fire away, fire away, Doug. Yeah, put your spin on it.
You had been talking about.
Yeah, put your spin on it.
So, I had never thought about this before, and then listening to you guys for the last like half hour. I wonder if one of the reasons why the holdout, this is the first thing I want to say, I got two things. The first, wonder why the holdout with Brandon lasted so long, because all these other guys that are getting paid, 28, 29, 30, 35 million, they're like the number one or number two option on the team. I wonder if our front office was thinking, we got all these guys. Yeah, Brandon is not the number one or number two option. Should we really pay him that much? He's a great talent, but our situation is really, really different. And so I wanted to get your thoughts on that, and you kind of have just given me those thoughts.
No, Doug. Thoughts.
And I have one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Talk to us, Doug.
One more thing. About this weekend's game. You know how in the NFL, through most of the season, if there's a team that's down and they have to win to stay in contention, they usually win. Okay, I wouldn't take our opponent this weekend for granted, because if they go 0-3, their chances of making the playoffs are really, really low, and they are in our division, and they are a tough opponent with us, and both teams are banged up. So I'm a little, I hope we bring it because I'm a little concerned about it. So those are my two things.
Yeah, and
thanks
I think
for taking my call.
Thanks, Doug, thanks. I think that's very fair. It's interesting how Vegas looks at a totally injured Rams team and goes, well, they can't play. And then looks at a totally injured Niners team and goes, 7-point favorite. Yeah, like why are we expecting the injuries to affect the Rams and not the Niners? I don't know. I think it's tucked into a compliment to Kyle Shanahan somewhere along the road because the Rams have their quarterback too, the same way the Niners have theirs.
But they're missing their two of their three best weapons. They still have their running back.
So are the Niners.
Well, the 49ers have a ground game that still is very much intact and an offensive line that's very good at run blocking.
Yeah.
I do think that if you look at like the best foot forward for the Rams, it's Kupp and Nacua and Matt Stafford. And then Kyren Williams, a good running back. For the Niners, it's a run game with fill-in-the-blank running back and Kyle Shanahan. And then it's Debo, George, and Brandon.
I'll buy that.
Also down three starting offensive linemen.
Yeah, their offensive line is
When their offensive line is healthy, it's a pretty bad offensive line.
Agreed. No,
and the
I
defense, probably healthy, but also when healthy, not a very good defense.
That's why, by the way, that's what I'm getting at this week. And I know it's nowhere near as fun and sexy. The defense needs to eat this weekend. My God. What do the Rams have to throw at you? They have no offensive line and no wide receivers. What are they throwing at you? You better be amazing. And they're going to have to go to a silent count because it's going to be crazy.
At home.
Exactly.
Crazy.
So they better be amazing. That's what my eyes are on. The Rams should not be able to get to 16 points this weekend. They should not be able to get to 16 points. If they get to 17, that's too many. That's too many. That means you fumbled at your own two or something like that.
You would figure.
In my opinion. So the other thing he said, though, like, okay, why did you pay Brandon this? Do you remember when Kyle Shanahan went on the TK pod and he sort of explained, quote, the way he looks at it? And he goes, I don't look at it as, is that guy worth $30 million. I look at it as the whole picture, all of the salaries, the cap, and our team building. And he was mainly talking about the quarterback. I don't worry about it. Is a quarterback, is he worth 55? Is he worth 57? He's like, that's what a quarterback costs. And that's where the Niners got caught here. This is what a good wide receiver costs right now. I can raise my hand and go, it shouldn't. It shouldn't. It's like when you visit Hawaii and orange juice is $11. It shouldn't be, but do you want orange juice?
Exactly.
We're here, so you want orange juice or not? And the Niners kind of got stuck there because that's what a wide receiver costs. It shouldn't, but it does.
And especially it shouldn't for this team that doesn't rely on the wide receiver as much as other teams, yet they still went out and they paid the wide receiver. For whatever reason, they felt like they had to, and the price kept going up and up and up and up, and then they paid him, and now so far through two games, they have not gotten much of a return on their investment.
Yeah, he's a good player. That's why they paid him, but I hear you.